All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from God to man begin and never cease. Peace that never ends, peace not based on circumstances, peace in spite of the most difficult of circumstances, is available from God to man through the gift of Jesus Christ. Beautiful, powerful music and lyrics with a message, "Behold the Lamb of God." And you haven't even heard that song yet. That's next, and that's the key song. That's the title song. And the song in the title of the program is that for a reason. It comes from the words of John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 29. In fact, if you have your little green handout, you can follow along with me here. Verse 29 of chapter 1 of John says, "The next day he," speaking of John, "saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, comma, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" John's words would have been understood clearly by all who heard them. They would have been familiar with what he was talking about. They would have clearly grasped the weight of all of these lambs, all of the lambs sacrificed by all of the priests on their behalf to atone for their personal sin. All those lambs, they covered their sin. But the Lamb of God, the one promised, the Messiah to come, would take away all the sin. And those lambs pointed to the coming of one, God's Messiah, God's anointed one. And that one came as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. A Savior, a Redeemer was promised and needed, and they looked forward to His coming. They longed for it. They longed for the day when all of their sins would be fully atoned for. In the songs you've heard up to this point, there are a few things that stand out to me, and I'd like to just point them out to you, share them with you this morning briefly. In the first song, "Gather round, ye children, come," an invitation is given. And that invitation is to hear the story of the power of death undone by an infant born of glory. And the invitation specifically said to children, "Gather round, ye children, come." And I hope when you heard that invitation, when you hear it now, you do not tune it out. It's tempting to do so, to say that's just for children. But this is not for children based on age. It's for those who would come as a little child. And how do children come? We know how they come. They're unique and different, but they all typically come the same way. They come weak. Children enter this world frail. They enter this world very needy, but they also come with great faith. What children believe, they are all in. They fully believe with all their hearts until they're given reasons not to. So the invitation is that you would come, children, like a little child, in order that you might become a child of God. It's a Christmas invitation to look to the infant born in Bethlehem. You see, the birth of God's Son in this way and in this city of David, this Bethlehem, speaks and reeks of humility. He was God, the song said, but made himself nothing. God's way of salvation comes by the highway of humility. Christ humbled himself, allowing himself literally to be manhandled by sinners. He submitted himself to the Father by suffering and dying on the cross, taking the wrath of the Father that our sins rightfully deserve. Salvation comes through the humility of Jesus Christ, and every person who experiences God's salvation must likewise humble themselves in order to receive it. In the song, "Pass Over Us," God's chosen people wandered and wandered and wandered, lacking purpose and lacking peace, all because of their sin and their rebellion. Thus, a sacrifice was required and a priest in order to see it through. In the song, "Deliver Us," the need of freedom is clearly declared. Not freedom from physical chains and physical captivity like the Hebrew people experienced, but each one of us are bound by the chains of our own sin. We know this to be true. We may choose to deny it, but we know what we are at the end of the day, sinners. Proverbs 5:22 says, the iniquities of the wicked. Now, that's another word to tune you out. Wicked. Oh, I don't want to hear that. That's for the Hitlers of the world. That's the Saddam Husseins. That's the worst of us. No. Compared to a holy, righteous, and perfect God, each one of us stands in the condition of wicked. And the scripture says the iniquities or the sins of the wicked ensnare him or her, and he or she is held fast in the cords of their sin. Jesus, 33 years later, would speak of this in John chapter 8 when he would say, the truth will make you free. And that sounds like good news, and it really is, but those who heard it, and maybe even some of you to hear it today, may respond the same way those who heard it did. They reacted negatively to Jesus saying, the truth will set you free. They responded on the defensive. That sounded like something unattractive to them. So they pushed back, saying that they were a free people and had never been enslaved to anyone. So Jesus continued to explain. He said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now that would have nailed everyone there, and it nails everyone here. Jesus said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to it. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. That would have had to have been a very gripping, very eye-opening warning to everyone who hears it, and even today. The slave does not remain in the house forever. Only a son or a daughter does. That means one has to be born. Our greatest need is to be delivered from our sin, and that doesn't happen until God frees us through the work of his Son. And the song echoes this in the beautiful words, and our freedom, yours to give. Our freedom, yours to give. It's a freedom we cannot earn. It must be given and it must be received. Then the beautiful song Tanita sung, Labor of Love, says, it was not a silent night. There was blood on the ground. I'm sure that's not in any of your nativity scenes. I'm sure that's not in any of your Christmas cards, but that's the reality. It was not silent. There was literal blood on the ground. And what does this do? This points us to the cross where the baby born to die 33 years later would do exactly that. There at the foot of the cross would be blood on the ground, but not just any blood, innocent blood, perfect blood, blood fulfilling the requirements of God, whose word says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You see, both the justice of God who is holy and the mercy of God who is love meet at the cross of Jesus Christ. And in the song you're about to hear, the song that the program is named after, Behold the Lamb, this is what God's invitation is all about. You're invited to behold. Behold's not a word we use very much. Sounds old, doesn't it? It's used in the Bible, not a ton, but significantly enough that every time it's used, it is in very important setting and context. So behold means to see, but it means so much more. It means to really see, to take in, to understand the weight, the value of what God has done for you personally in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a danger of seeing things so much that you don't see them anymore. I'm sure you've experienced some of that. That's why marketing professionals and experts always encourage companies and businesses and individuals to change their logo or make some sort of adjustment or a tweak every so often, every few years, because the reality is their business, their logo, what they're trying to communicate often falls into the background, just becomes part of the scenery, and people see it, but they don't really see it. And that can happen with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the Holy Spirit is also involved. The Holy Spirit does a work. The Holy Spirit can take this gospel, this good news, and illuminate it to you. That's how you know God is drawing you to himself. So you are able to really see it. You are able to behold the Lamb of God, God's sacrifice personally for you. In this song, you're going to hear the following words. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God who died and rose again. That's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's not complicated. It's really not. It's simple enough for a child to understand it, and God offers salvation one way and one way only, through his Son Jesus Christ and by grace. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, Salvation comes by grace, God's unmerited favor, God giving us what we don't deserve and could never earn on our best day. It comes by grace, but it comes through faith, a faith response, a response to believe. It is the gift of God, and it must be received, not of works or any effort, so that no one could brag or boast. We only can boast in what God has done. So let me invite you this morning to respond to what you've heard so far, to respond to God's offer of amazing grace. Would you just give me a moment? Bow your heads. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes, please, for just a moment? If you would like to receive God's offer, and you say, what is God's offer? His offer is forgiveness. Your greatest need is forgiveness, and God alone offers it through His Son. If you would like to receive His offer of grace, the forgiveness of your sins, and to be adopted into His family, how does that happen? By having the sacrifice of Jesus credited to you personally. You do that by simply praying. You can pray right there in the quiet of your heart and mind. You say, well, what would I pray? It's not the words that matter, it's the heart condition. In the quiet of your heart and mind, tell God that you know you're a sinner. Just admit it. Say, God, I am a sinful man. Peter fell on his knees before Jesus and said, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He said, depart from me. But Jesus did not depart from him. Jesus came to deal with Peter's sin, and he's come to deal with your sin. Simply pray and admit you're a sinner. I'm a sinful man. I am a sinful woman. I am wicked indeed. All of your sins are laid before him. The Bible says all have sinned. If it is true for you, if you are truly convicted, tell him you are truly sorry for every sin that you have ever committed. You can tell him that. Then make something called a profession of faith. You say, Pastor Gene, what is that? It's real simple. In other words, tell God you believe. If this is true, tell him you believe. Tell him you believe what? You believe that Jesus' death paid for your sin. His perfect life qualified him to be the Savior for you. His resurrection is now the guarantee of your resurrection. God accepting Jesus' payment for your sin. Tell him you believe that Jesus paid it all your sin, past sin, present sin, and praise God, future sin. Tell him that. Make that profession of faith. And then thank God for the gift of his Son. Thank Jesus for dying in your place. Then simply confess to God that Jesus, by faith, is now your Lord and your Savior, and that you are ready to learn what it means to follow Jesus. Okay, you can look up here. If you responded that way this morning to God, not to me, but to God, and you really want to learn what it means to follow Christ, we want to help you with that. We want to help you become a fully devoted follower of Christ. If God has drawn you to himself, you have placed your faith in him, the Bible says you are born again. And if you are born again, we want you to have all your birthrights. We want you to have everything the Lord has for you, and that's why this church exists. That's why we exist. So we want to help you with that. And so all I would ask is that after this service, you come up to me and just let me know. Say, hey, Pastor Gene, I prayed. I put my faith in Jesus today. I'm his child today, and I want to be everything he's made me to be. I want all the birthrights that I have coming, and I want to learn what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you're here today and you're saying, I've got some questions. I did not place my faith in Jesus today, but I've got some hard questions. I've got some things perhaps holding me back, and I need some answers. Listen, bring it. We're not afraid of your questions. You don't need to be afraid of them because God has answers for you as well. But we're going to listen now as the choir has a couple more songs to bring this powerful program to a conclusion, followed by an opportunity for us to worship the Lord in heartfelt prayer. But as on behalf of the church, on behalf of Hampton Heights Baptist Church, I want to invite you, hope to see you at 4:45 p.m. on Christmas Eve. And we're going to enjoy that service, and then Lord willing, weather permitting, we're going to go outside and conclude the service with candlelight here in front of the stained glass outside. But if not, if that's not available for your schedule, then we just want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and God's blessings upon you.